It's always great to see you and spend some time in the Lord with you. So today we're going to wrap up our exploration of the Gospel of John in this Gospel Foundation series we've been doing in chapter 17. And that brings us up to the moment after this of Jesus' arrest and his crucifixion, resurrection, those things that we return to every Easter. So I thought we would end John here, and then I'll take a look at some of the other Gospels and work through some of that as well. So we continue to think about this gospel message, not only the message of the gospel and what God has done for us, but how that affects our life and what we're called to be. Really have a solid foundation of what gospel living looks like. So in John 17, we read a prayer that Jesus had before he went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was arrested. And you'll see as we go through this, there are a few common themes in this prayer. Important things that were on Jesus' mind as he was about to be taken away. So let's start together just by reading through verses 1 through 26. And then we'll talk about it a little bit. So, John 17, verses 1 through 26 this morning. It says, "When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction, that scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in my truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know you have sent me and love them even as I loved you. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name and will continue to make it known, that the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." Okay. There are several things there that Jesus said. You probably noticed a few common themes. The first part of this prayer, Jesus really focused on the glory of God. He prayed that the Father would glorify him so that Jesus could glorify the Father. And the idea expressed in glorifying is to express majesty, dignity, praise, and adoration for somebody. So this is really a prayer of praise that Jesus is beginning with. He's expressing praise for the Father and asking to be glorified as he was before the beginning of the world. And this is another one of those places where we're seeing that identity between the Father and the Son, that they are one in so many ways. But as I read through this, I had just stopped to consider for a moment that what Jesus said about asking the Father to glorify him so that he may glorify the Lord. And it had me thinking about my own prayers of praise for the Lord. And perhaps asking him not to glorify me, but to allow me to glorify him even more. And I think it's just something to ponder as we can think of all kinds of ways to praise God and give him thanks. But maybe there's something to asking him to allow us to give him even more praise. Allow him to work in us. Allow him to open our eyes to see more. To experience more of his goodness so that we can glorify him even more. Just a wonderful expression of praise to him to think about and asking God to allow us to do even more. Now Jesus goes on then to pray for those who are already following him. Those, he says, that the Father has given him in the world, his current disciples, and then for those who will believe in him through the message that they share. And that includes all of us here today who have put our faith in Jesus Christ. So Jesus prays for his current disciples and his future disciples, and he makes some similar requests for both. In the first part, he asks the Father to protect those who have believed in him from the evil one. And he specifically asks that the Father protects them so that they may be one, just as Jesus and the Father are one. And that's a theme I want to explore a little bit more in depth today. Jesus wants his followers to be protected from going astray, from being divided from one another. He wants them to be protected so that they can remain in him, as we've talked about, so that they can be just as Jesus and the Father are one. It's the same thing he asked for all of us who would believe in him, that we could be one just as the Father is in Jesus and Jesus in the Father. He repeats it multiple times in this message. He asks that we be brought to complete unity, just as God, Father, and Holy Spirit are. And he mentions the wonderful result that comes from that unity in verse 23. Let's take a look at that passage again. He says, "The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are." That's verse 22. He says, "I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me." So the result of becoming one in Christ is that the world could know Jesus even more. There's something powerful in that to think about. But this prayer of unity, this prayer that Jesus shared, shares some foundational themes of the gospel we've seen all throughout the book of John. He talks about the Father's love. God pours his love out into Jesus and into people in the world. God's love is the basis and the starting point of the gospel. He loves us regardless of our sin, regardless of any behavior we have. He chose to love us, and that love doesn't change. And knowing of God's love, knowing that he loves you in spite of anything about you, is life-changing. There's so much power in that kind of love. Now, we know that God demonstrates that love through Jesus, and Jesus came and gave his life for us. He gave his life up as a sacrifice to pay for the penalty of our sins. That's just a glimpse of how much God loves you. He chose to die in your place. And after conquering sin and death and returning from the grave, he came to be with us for eternity. That's the foundation of the gospel. But that foundation then has an impact in our lives. Through the power of God's love and his presence in our lives, those who believe in him can become one in this world. we can become completely united as one people. People of all nations, all over the earth, become united in Christ. People loved by God and washed clean by Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, are capable of setting aside anything that divides us. That is a huge message. As we become united as children of God and fellow followers of Christ by the love of God and love for one another, we can change the world. The oneness of God's people shows those around us the truth of who Jesus is. Psalm 133:1 says how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. And there is something beyond our human capability in that kind of unity. We've talked about this many times before, but it's worth exploring again as we look at Jesus' prayer here. It's such a central theme to what Jesus wants for us. The world tends toward division. Our sinful nature tends to divide people. We separate ourselves from one another. God wants to restore us to unity, and it's His strength working in us that allows us to do that. The love of God in and among us will bring all kinds of people together, people of diverse backgrounds and experiences, people who, without Christ, could barely stand the thought of interacting with one another. This has been true throughout the centuries, that Jesus Christ brings people together who normally have no interactions. And I think it's within our calling as Christians to be people who reach out across dividing lines between people and demonstrate how the love of God can unite us. So wherever we find ourselves among a group of people, we'll naturally drift toward people who have like ideas with us, people who like to do the same kinds of things of us. But going with those groups will also naturally divide us from other groups of people, will set us apart. Different ideas, different traditions, different backgrounds, different languages, all those different things that separate us, both, I'll call them neutral and bad, where we decide that somebody's not worth connecting with. We naturally drift toward those groups that we connect with well. But as Christians, because we are called to unite, I think it's within our calling to reach out between those groups, to find ways to connect with people outside our normal cultural groups, to see if we can show God's love and show people how God unites. And it's amazing how often you'll find fellow followers of Christ in different groups of people that you can immediately connect with and form a bridge between those groups. We ought to be seeking ways to bring people together and not just blend in with those groups we naturally fit into. And that may seem impossible to you when you think about some of the groups that perhaps you don't connect with immediately. There's some important and difficult dividing lines within our culture. And yet, with the power of God in you, the presence of Jesus Christ, you have the ability, you have the love and the presence of God to reach out and find ways to connect with those who you normally wouldn't connect with. The Holy Spirit has empowered us for that work. Now, the oneness of Jesus is not something that's just contained within each of us individually. This call to go out in the world and build bridges and bring people together through the love of God is not just a task for each of us individually to go out and do. It only happens, really, in community. Being a community of believers is an important part of living out the Great Commission, where Jesus says to go out and make disciples. So often we think about in that terms of, what am I going to do? What am I going to go out do to find somebody who doesn't know Christ and show him the gospel, present them the gospel, tell them the right things, show them the right things so that they come to faith in Christ? But what Jesus emphasizes here is that people come to believe in him because they see how we love one another. You can't do that on your own. We have to show the love of God together in this world. A love that is so foreign to many people. Jesus doesn't necessarily want us to just have convincing words to have people turn to him. But he wants to see his love at work in and among and around us to show the truth of Jesus who he is. Show the world the truth of who Jesus is They will see something working within us, between us, that they don't find out in the world. And then that's how they will know God is at work among us. It's an important task he's given the church, to be one in this world. And if we are not diligent about that, we can find ourselves divided. There's all kinds of church division that goes on. It's gone on throughout the centuries. Satan is at work to divide what God has put together. And we can't fix what's happened in the past, but going forward, we can do everything we can to be one with God and one with one another, to show the world who God is. It's such a powerful force. As I was thinking about the power of unity, I considered the strength that comes from being from multiple people coming together as one, and just thought about a single piece of paper and how strong that is. If I just take a single sheet of paper, I can easily rip it into pieces, right? But the more I rip this and the more sheets I stack together, if they're all united, it becomes difficult to tear, right? I get to this point and I can't even rip it apart anymore. When we stand together as one, we are far more powerful than we are alone. There's a strength that God has given us in that unity he calls us to. When we, diverse people of different backgrounds, different ideas about life, come together in Christ and stand together in Christ, we have a power that is far beyond what any of us can do on our own. That is the kind of strength that God has given the church all over the world. It's amazing when you really start connecting with people to find believers anywhere in this world. There's an instant connection because of the Spirit within us. And God has built this force in the world. Not a force to tear down or attack or take over anything, but a force to stand with him in his love, to show people who Christ is. There's a strength God has given the church, and we only find it when we are united in him. That unity in its Christians is a powerful force in this world. And when that unity is on display for the world to see, lives are truly changed. And so there's something for us to ask ourselves in this. And when we're called to show people the love of God through our unity, I think it's important to ask ourselves, well, how are we showing that to the world? Very often, we come together weekly here, right? And we enjoy the fellowship we have as brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we see and celebrate that oneness that God gives us, we see and experience that fellowship that binds us together. But how well do people who don't know Christ see that in this place? We invite people, and we encourage that, invite people to come into our gatherings, to come to things like our craft day, any kind of event that we have, where we have a trunk or treat, we want to invite the community, and we hope that the people will come and they'll see the fellowship that we have. But I think it's important to ask ourselves, how else can people see that oneness among us? Are we creating opportunities for that to happen? Perhaps we ought to come together more often in public spaces, to come together even in two or three brothers and sisters in Christ, meeting in places where people can see and interact with us. Perhaps we ought to serve more together in our community. I've often encouraged us all to be involved in their community, to go out and show God's love to people. And it's occurred to me that it's important not only for us as individuals to do that, but for us as groups of people to go do that together. And there's how much more strength is there when a number of us come together to go out and serve in the community together as brothers and sisters in Christ, where people will see and experience the fellowship that we share. They will see how God has brought people together. It's powerful for us to go out together among people who do not know Jesus, to serve together, to celebrate the love he gives us, and to allow God's love to be seen among us. And as I think about that, I'm reminded that in Acts 2, where we read about the beginning of the Christian church, we read about how those early believers in Jesus lived their lives among other people so often. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 2 for a moment. And we can read just some highlights of how that early chapter lived. Early church. I'm going to read from Acts 2, starting in verse 42. This is shortly after the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. Peter stood up and spoke to the crowd, and many people that day put their faith in Christ. In verse 42 it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Do you see how many different ways they were engaged with one another in displaying God's love for the world to see? Not only were they devoted to teaching and devoted to the fellowship that they shared with one another, they shared meals with one another, they prayed together. The signs and wonders that were being done through the Holy Spirit in them were being done so that people could see the power of God at work within them. They had all things in common. And I think this was a powerful demonstration of the work of God among them. Among these believers were people from different statuses, different classes within their community. We had the poor interacting with the rich. And they were taking care of one another. That was crazy. And that's so crazy today. Think about the groups of people that so often we don't even know about in our communities just because they're live in a different area of the community. They have a different focus in their lives. There's different statuses that just naturally develop, and we hardly know how to care for one another. But with the love of God bringing us together, we interact with one another. We learn of one another's needs, and we start to care for one another. And when the people around them could see that, they could see what a difference that made in their neighbors' lives, they saw the work of God, and they could come to believe. And not only that, they met day after day in the temple, the common gathering area for people in Jerusalem. They went into the temple courts, and people could see them loving each other, caring for one another, even just talking to one another where normally they wouldn't talk to each other. All of those things demonstrated the power of God at work within them and drew people to Christ. This was the strength of unity in Christ, bringing together diverse groups of people and showing how they could actually love one another and care for one another. And this unity doesn't just happen automatically. In all the ways that God calls us to change our lives, we must openly invite Him and actively pursue what He wants. God makes Himself available to us. He speaks to us in His Word about what He wants for us, but He never forces that on us. We must always be active participants in God's transformational work in our lives, and that includes building this united community that Jesus prays for. We must seek to be united as Christ wants us to be, because naturally we'll just drift apart. We come together once a week to celebrate the Lord. We enjoy that time. But otherwise, if we're not conscious of it, we just tend to go our own ways. We all have different jobs. We live in different areas. We have different things that we focus on. And it can be easy to just live out our own lives apart from one another and just have this one strand that connects us. And thus we work at it. Because unless that unity is strong, unless it's something that we work on, divisions can rise up. We're going to get angry with one another. We're going to hurt one another. But can we recognize those things as something to overcome, something to work through, something that can be overcome through the love of Christ. God has taught us to listen, to care, to forgive, to restore. That begins in the community of believers when we work at it. We work to build one another up. We work to be inviting to one another. We ask God to change us, to be more loving people, that we could learn from him how to pay attention to one another and give ourselves to one another, notice and listen and care for one another in new ways. We ask him to teach us how to see the best in one another at all times and to overcome anything that the enemy may speak to us that can divide us and keep us apart from one another. And so we ask God to help us be strong as a community, and we have to work at that, to work out any offenses, to work out any kind of divisions that happen, to seek forgiveness, to offer repentance to one another. We ask the Lord for opportunities to show God's love to one another in new ways. And that's where the strength of this unity begins, when we reach out to one another and share that love together and seek to be united. And there's so many ways we can actively pursue unity, first of all with one another and with other Christians in the world. And then as we build that unity, we have the strength to demonstrate God's love to the world so that they may see God at work among us. So the question for us to leave with today is just that, are we seeking those opportunities to grow in oneness, to display the oneness we have to the world, recognizing that is the power of God at work within us? This is our opportunity to share Jesus with the world, to show how he brings us together. May the world see Jesus at work within us. Let's pray and give Lord thanks for the love that he pours into us and the love that he uses to bind us together, and ask for those opportunities to share him together in this world. Lord, we thank you for this church and for the ways that you continue to build us and transform us into your people. I do pray for your blessing on this congregation, Lord, that you would bless us with your love, with a unity perhaps we have never seen and known before, Lord. That you would bind us together in the strength of your Spirit and the love that you've poured into our lives. May you prompt us to be active in building that unity, Lord. May you convict us of any ways that we are working against that, Lord. And help us to set those aside and pursue you even more. And I pray that, Lord, you would give us new opportunities to show that love to the world together. May we live out our faith, not only here when we're together, but in every public place that we go, Lord. May we be, as the early church, available and accessible in those public spaces, showing your love at work within us and among us. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.